This is Stage Right, and I am your host, John Thorne. They say if you die with a handful of friends, you die a rich man. Well, I have several buses full, and I'm very excited to share them all with you. Welcome to Stage Right. I am your host, John Thorne. This is episode 14, our special year-end recap show for 2020. I hope you had a great Christmas last week, and I hope you got some fun stuff planned as we shove 2020 off the dock out into the abyss. But before we do, I just want to take a few minutes and talk about some things that I'm thankful for from 2020. Things that have happened this year that are positive and I'm excited about moving forward. In January, my wife and I took a huge step towards starting a ministry to help pastors who are struggling and tired and worn down from being in the ministry. Very excited that we got that rolling and started. So in the next year or two, that ball shall be rolling downhill with much momentum. So I'm very happy about that. My friends, number four on my list, my friends. This podcast has reminded me why my friends are my friends. They're gifted, selfless, they're world changers, they're successful, they don't sit still, they keep moving forward. And for that, I'm so proud and excited. And it's been the last 3 months doing the show has been three of the funnest months I've had in a long time. Number three on my list is my youngest daughter, Taylor, got engaged to her Scottish, she would say prince, I'll say court jester, Kyle of the Highland McFarlands of Scotland. So Taylor and Kyle got engaged. Congratulations to them. So we're excited there's a wedding in the near future. Number two on my list has been a kiss from heaven this entire year with the arrival of our granddaughter, Lily. She's changed everything in our life and everyone around us. Everyone that knows Lily has been affected greatly. And we're so excited for Zach and Lexi and thankful and proud of Lily. And number one on my list of things I'm thankful for in 2020 is my wife, Julie. She lives every day with a peace and a strength and a contentment that can only come from God. And when God made Julie, He made a gem, and I'm so thankful for her. But the thing I'm most thankful for that I don't even feel right putting on a list because it's not on a list. It's a banner that hangs over my life. I'm thankful that nothing will ever enter into my life that will cause me to question the sovereignty of God. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His ways are higher than my ways. And He will never have to remind me who created who. So this year more than ever, I'm thankful for God's sovereignty in my life. Now a quick word from our sponsor, Hey Rockstar.
Hey Rockstar provides digital marketing software and services to generate more leads, more exposure, and more revenue for your business or organization. Let Hey Rockstar amplify your awesomeness.
So when I was thinking about the end of the year recap show I wanted to do, I decided to feature all of my friends. So the following is a show that's going to take an excerpt from each show, a couple from here and there. You're going to get to hear from everyone that's been my guest the first 13 episodes to give you an idea of what the show is like if you haven't heard it. If you have heard it, it'll just remind you of some of the funny stories and stuff. I can't thank you enough for listening and telling your friends and just taking the time to be part of the show. I appreciate it. You're the reason I'm doing this. So I hope you enjoy it. And without further ado, here is our first clip from episode 13, my good friend, Mr. Dennis Holt, drummer extraordinaire.
All right, just for John and John's blog.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, from the North Pole, Mr. Dennis Holtz.
Oh,
Oh, man, I really feel like you should be doing a Christmas rap over top of that drum groove you got going there.
Oh, man, then we'll have to do publishing and all that kind of stuff.
I know, right? Oh, man. So how are you, Dennis? How are you doing today?
I'm quite well. Thank you, John. And thank you for inviting me to do this with you. I thank the world of you.
Likewise, my friend. I'm thrilled you're doing this today. So what are you up to today?
I'm happy to be doing this.
From For Him, Kirk Sullivan, Episode 7.
Whatever you hand me, I'm going to sing. So a guy named Mike Wells, who was the music director in the group, he and the producer, Stephen B. Taylor, found this song called We Shall See Jesus. Now, you have to understand, We Shall See Jesus, those of you guys who are listening, was in 4/4, and it was twangy country. The lead guitar part in the front was that's what it was. So I said, okay, I'll sing it. So we sang it that way for a couple of months. So, you know, we go in to record Keeper My Heart, and Stevie looks at me and he goes, listen to this. And they roll the track to We Shall See Jesus. And I about lost my mind because he had just done this crazy, incredible thing with it. And so I sang my brains out. I sang over my head. And so that particular song sealed my
destiny.
My destiny in truth. And at that point, Roger kind of knew what to do with me.
Dude, I got to say, it is one of the all-time great truth vocals.
I appreciate that. It was, I was singing for my life. I was. See, nobody, here's what's funny is that even when I came back in the group.
From episode 2, Pete Orta from Petra.
I'm trying to miss it. So I went out in concessions, man, and I took my time and I ordered a hot dog and some fries and a drink, and I ate it out there. I don't think you could bring it in the area. And I just took my sweet time, and I'm like, all right, it's probably over. So I walk back and I sit down, and my wife turns right over to me, and I thought she was going to, you know, like, you missed it. And she grabbed me. She goes, your category's next. I'm like,
now I got to say, be thankful you have a wife that is excited for you.
I know she still
because
is.
She was always so proud of you and so excited for you and always pulled for you. That I can just see that. That would be the funnest thing in the world for her to tell you you're next.
I know, man. So I sat there in the chair. I put my head down, like almost between my knees, and I'm rocking back and forth like Rain Man. And I'm just like, oh, I'm trying to cover my ears, but I'm not because I'm still curious.
Right.
And they read off all the contestants and, you know, what do we call the people competing against each other? But just my peers, right. You know, four other nominees. Yeah, nominees, the other nominees.
I kind of like contestants. Nominees, go ahead.
And the winner is, and your just heart stops. Petra.
Episode 9, journalist Ron Rockstar.
So I am the guy that put Petra Beyond Belief lineup back together. They reunited with me.
Right.
And we did a 1-hour interview.
That was fantastic.
On Zoom. And we just talked about Beyond Belief, the songs, the album, the recording.
It was huge.
The movie, the videos, the tour. The production. Right. I mean, basically, we covered every single thing you think that we could cover talking about Beyond Belief. And the greatest thing was that these guys have not seen each other in at least 5 years. They were catching up, like kind of in between the interview. There was a lot of private conversations going on between the guys about private stuff.
Right.
But because they haven't talked for so long. You know, like putting five friends together and they're reminiscing and start talking about. Yeah. Things that have nothing to do with the interview. And it was great. And, you know, I think the best part of that whole hour was in the beginning when John Schlitz said to me, you know, he says, hey, buddy, thank you so much for doing this and putting us back together like this. Like, how great is that?
It's a cool way to honor them. And it's a cool way to honor the music in that album because it was a great album for them.
Oh, it's the greatest Christian album of all time, in my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people agree with me. Right. And the great thing is like after I posted that interview on my channel, because I just started my YouTube.
Legendary tour manager, Denny Keatsman.
Anyway, I just learned so much. And I, after I read through Psalms, was the first thing I read through. And I'm going like, oh, okay, this guy's not doing too good, but he's seems to be happy about it.
Right. Yeah. <You know? laughs> I've never heard it put that way, dude. That is awesome.
And then I started reading, of course, the next book is Proverbs. I got into Proverbs, and it flipped me out. Because basically Proverbs is a lot of these little one-liners.
Right.
You know, a wise man does this, a foolish man does that kind of a stuff.
Kind of black and white there.
Yeah, and I'm going like, holy cow, no wonder I'm having such a hard time. I've been doing all the foolish man stuff. So I have just made it my business to attempt at least to do all the wise man things that God points out. And I read a chapter of Proverbs every day and have for the last probably 50 years.
One of the best bass players on the planet, Anthony Salee.
And then I started playing out live. I think it was like a benefit concert at Amy Grant's house. And Phil was there, and I'm playing with Wes Keen.
Right.
And I get a call the next week. Phil's like, I want you to come out and play with me if you want to. And just, you know, I've got a few band shows over the summer. And so I ended up doing a lot of those same shows of what I described earlier about the creation. We do a ton of festivals and, yeah, it's just a fun time playing with Phil. He's kind of hard to keep up with. He doesn't like to rehearse. So you better be on your game when you show up. And it's not like his songs are like, easy.
No.
like no rehearsal.
I want you to come play with Phil Keaggy, and I can't rehearse with you.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean that's exactly how it was. He'd be like, oh, by the way, let's do this song tonight. I'm here, let's listen to it. And I'm like, what are all those runs he's playing?
Oh, dude, that's so funny.
I'm like, and we're gonna go out here in about 20 minutes and play in front of 100,000 people. No pressure.
No pressure, and don't screw up.
You know.
From Mylon LeFevre and Broken Heart and Gateway Church, Scott Allen.
This guy that I don't ever remember seeing or meeting ever in my life, and I don't think that I had, walked up to me and called me by name. He said, hey, Scott, how are you doing? You know, and I kind of gave him the typical, oh, yeah, doing good, man, doing good. And, you know, just very surfacey. And this guy, like, proceeded to, like, completely read my mail. And so he was either, like, the most incredibly accurate prophetic person in the world that I had ever encountered, or it potentially was an angel, or I don't know the amount of things that God had revealed to this person was just so spot on down to the details. And the bottom line of it was, he said to me, God's not through with you with music yet, and your best and your greatest days are ahead of you in ministry. So the two conclusions were that God wasn't through with me yet, and very specifically, he said to me, Mylon needs a guitar player, and you need to call him right away.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, you know, Debbie and I were driving home from the beach and just kind of looked at each other and was like, what was that? You know, it was too stunningly accurate,
right,
about where I was at in my life.
From Head East and Petra, singer John Schlitt.
Sure do. You know what I remember?
What?
You basically said, leave. And I've never had anybody tell me, leave, John. We'll get the songs, and then when we're ready, we'll have you come in. There's no reason why you should have to sit through us learning these songs. And I looked at you and I said, he is from heaven. He is an angel. If you all knew John, he doesn't look like an angel.
The funny thing about that, if you remember, we did 3 weeks without you in your basement, but you were on the other side of the glass from your studio, drywalling, mm-hmm, and repair and renovating your basement. So yep, you were 20 feet away. If we needed you, you'd stick your head in and say, "Can I listen?" And we'd be like, "No." Like, because I knew all it would do is create stress for you to listen to people play stuff wrong. So the point was, you're not going to hear them until they're playing it right.
And boy, you guys got it right. I'll tell you what, although that record was really not received by the industry, live wise, that tour was pretty fun.
Oh, it was a blast. It was a blast.
I had, you know what? That was actually the makings of the next lineup of Petra. You know, it was a very unique time for me at that moment. It was right after the No Doubt tour.
It was right after the Saltbox tour.
Yes, the Saltbox tour. Absolutely. Where two of the best known Christian rock bands in the history of music played together.
My good friend from White Hart, Mr. Billy Smiley.
Legend of Wally John.
You can tell everybody who's, well, it was your idea, so you can tell them the backstory to it later.
I can't remember why I called you Wally John.
It was because you came up with this idea. You guys were new to Star Song.
Yep.
And you came up with this idea that this fictitious character.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like the vacation movie, like Wally World.
That's right, Wally John, yeah.
So your idea was that I had won a contest through Star Song to hang out and spend my summer with Whiteheart.
Right, now it's coming back. And you were anointed.
I was anointed, so that's when I started shooting videos. So that's where all the powerhouse footage came from there. So
I am the reason for you being a video guy then.
It's really possible. Now, I would always shoot video footage if I could, if I had it, you know, like if I was at Disney World or whatever, I'd always. Sculptor, author, and speaker, Scott Stearman.
Well, I knew what that, I'm a preacher's kid, man. I've been in Sunday school. That means you don't cuss. I had a list of words when I was in grade school in Coffeyville, Kansas. I knew if I didn't say those words on commandment number 3,
right,
I was okay.
Yep.
Well, I'm working on this and I'm going, wait a minute. This is one of the Ten Commandments given from the creator of the universe to his people. And he's saying these are important things.
Yep.
Third commandment's got to mean more than just a list of bad words that a little boy's not supposed to say.
You would think, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, this bothers me. So I actually went across the stream from my studio to my cousin's house. He's a pastor, and I said, I need, help me understand this. And he helped me understand that to take the name of the Lord means that I've taken his identity on my life.
Wow, that's good.
It means I've taken his name, that when people see me, they associate his name with me.
Right.
How I'm living my life is reflective of the name I have taken. I am called a Christian. I have Christ in my name and my description of who I am. The commandment says, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't take the name of the Lord unless you're serious.
Right.
Don't take it lightly. Don't take it if it doesn't mean anything.
The only friend I have that can say he played with you too, Jay Wilkinson.
First thing he says, he goes, you can do this, right? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, we're in G. So I walk back to the piano back there. It's a CP80, which is a Yamaha. It's actually a stringed piano that came out in the late 70s, and you hear it on like Genesis Records and Keane, the British rock band Keane, made it popular again about 15 years ago.
Yep.
Lovely instrument. I actually have one in my living room here.
And why wouldn't you after this story?
And start playing, hit the downbeat on G. I'd never played this song before. I'm going to walk back here. And okay, it's 1-5-2 minor, 1-5-4. Okay, cool, got this. And I go down there, hit the downbeat on G, and it's a sour note. It sounds terrible. You can hear the PA. And you're just going through my head. I'm going, okay, I'm one of probably 5 people in this building of 20,000 people that can do this, and this isn't working. What's happening?
Right.
And Edge comes over real quick. He goes, Bono told you the wrong key. He goes, we're tuned down half a step. We're in G flat. Which, if you're a piano player, that's 6 flats, which is, I guess it's a lot. I mean, but it's...
It's a lot.
It is a lot. But it's, if you think of it in terms of numbers and shapes, rather than notes, which is how a lot of the Nashville people think, you know, Nashville number system. It's just numbers and shapes.
And a lot of flats.
So as soon as Edge comes over and says, oh, we're in G flat. Can you play in G flat? And he had this look in his face like, this guy's not going to be able to play in G flat. It's six flats. It's ridiculous. And I was like, oh, yeah, we're good. Start playing. When you're up there doing that, it's the crowd's looking at you like, okay, this is one of our guys up with them.
Right.
We're cheering for this guy. This is you know, Rocky going up against Apollo in the first round. Everybody's cheering. And then when you hit the bad note, it's like, oh, this could be bad. And so, like I said, Edge comes over and helps out. And from then on, it was great.
Well, he didn't really help out. All he did was fix Bono's mistake, which was tell you the key.
Yeah, which when you get into the perspective, Bono was right. Because if he's playing the song, he's going to play it in G. It just happens to be tuned down half a step.
Yeah.
So no one was really wrong. It just didn't end up right. But so Edge comes over, helps out, and then it was fine. And about a verse or two later, Bono comes in and he goes, all right, piano player, your verse. And everybody drops out, and I took 8 bars.
Oh, that's great.
As you're getting done playing the chorus a couple more times before the song closes out, you're sitting up there, and it's the same kind of thing, bigger stage, bigger artist, but it's the same kind of thing that I mentioned earlier. You're looking around, you're going, that's Larry Mullen Jr.
Right, right.
I'm playing with Adam Clayton. Edge is standing next to me. My goodness, how on earth is this happening?
Yep.
What have I done to deserve to get to do this? And it was just an awesome experience. And I've got this lovely picture on my wall in my living room of this, where I'm sitting there at this CP80 piano with Bono.
From episode 11, Mr. Ronnie Cates from Petra.
Okay, this is a God story. I mean, my whole life is one big God story. It wasn't right. Anything that I did.
Right.
So I'm working at a music store here in Shreveport. The owner of the music store was extremely well-connected to a lot of different artists. Just by reputation and by, you know, being guitar geeks and all of that. So he had found out that he knew the guitar tech for Hank Williams Jr.
Okay.
And Hank Jr.'s guitar tech called the boss of the music store, because they were friends and had been for 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
He called my friend and said, hey, Ricky Skaggs is needing a guitar tech. Do you have anybody? And so my boss told me about it. And within a couple of weeks, I was one of the guitar techs for Ricky Skaggs.
Nice.
In Nashville. And I was, you know, there was a main guitar tech for Ricky. Then there was another guitar tech, which was me, that kind of did bass guitar, auxiliary, acoustic guitars and stuff like that. And I did that for about a year. That's what got me to Nashville.
Right. That's awesome.
It was a good job. It was a salary. Nothing to write home about, but it was a great experience because Ricky was the entertainer of the year of the Country Music Association at that point.
Right.
So we were doing real gigs. You know, it was good. I learned a lot.
Tour manager for Casting Crowns and DC Talk, Mr. Danny Keatsman.
We decided to start a crisis pregnancy center.
Wow.
So moving from the coffee house to into the, you know, more working with guys getting out of jail, prison, probation, and parole, and then opening up a crisis pregnancy center, and which ended up being a maternity home.
Wow.
And then a semi-independent living program for single mothers who wanted to keep their babies.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that's still all going on in Adrian, Michigan today.
Wow, that is so cool, Denny.
And they are there, I think they celebrated the 35th anniversary.
Unreal.
Not too long ago. It got to a point where in the music business, I had to make a decision. Was I going to stay working with artists that I was working with by this time? I mean, I would go into jail four or five days a week and counsel guys.
Wow.
But then I would also take off and be gone for 2 or 3, 4 weeks.
Right.
And I never told anybody where I went, other than my board of directors knew where I went.
Right.
And I would take all the money that I got paid and put it into the pregnancy center.
You're kidding me.
I didn't take a salary, and I didn't keep any of the DC Talk money or the festival money or anything. I just gave it to the ministry.
Oh, wow.
Creative fundraising, because I got tired of going around asking people for money.
Right.
And, you know, get a good pat on the back, but no money.
Yeah, like on Facebook.
So it was just easier for me to just go out and earn the money.
From episode 13, Dennis Holt.
But I had a pager. My pager goes off. So I go over to the phone. It's a area code 404. And I would go down to Atlanta to work on records quite often. And so I pick up the phone and I said, hello, this is Dennis. And this guy goes, hey, is this Dennis Holt, the drummer? And I went, yeah. And he goes, this is Kerry Livgren with the band Kansas. And I went, okay. That was funny. So who is this? And he goes, no, it's Kerry Livgren. And I went, oh, come on. And he goes, a couple of guys down here, Mike Gleason, who has been touring with us, and Sonja Lallerstedt, have recommended you. I'm starting a sideline band off of Kansas, and it's either guys that are like Warren Ham, guys that have been working with us. So Mike, Warren, Warren, by the way, has been the sideline guy to the Stars. I mean, yes. Cher, Donna Summer, Toto, who he still does work with, and that's the Toto thing is how he's been with Ringo Starr for the last 5 years.
Right. Yeah.
An amazing, wonderful friend, an amazing musician and singer. So he goes, would you be interested? And I went, yeah. So he said, can you send me something that you've played on? And I said, sure. So I overnighted a cassette, and he called back. We had cassettes back then. Right. he calls back and said, hey,
From Mylon Lefevre and Broken Heart and Gateway Church, Mr. Scott Allen. Funny, because back then, Jim and Tammy were probably the only ones supporting Christian rock. There were lots of preachers on TV that were not supporting it.
Yes. Yes, I'm fully aware. You are now preaching to the choir.
So that's my segue. What was it like riding the bus, basically battling people on the same team?
Yeah, it was such an interesting and challenging time, for sure. And yet, you know, the one thing that I can say in retrospect is that we were connected with a local church that saw the value in what we were doing and saw the value in it enough that they assigned us a sweet elderly couple. Actually, they volunteered, but to disciple us. And Dr. Mack had planted churches and Bible colleges all around the world and wrote the ministry statement for the Church of God in Cleveland. And this was not a novice that they assigned to us.
Right.
They assigned a general
right
to us. And so looking back on it, I think the one thing in that season that probably helped us to stay grounded and stay on point and keep doing the ministry that we were doing was that we had a local church that loved us enough to pour into us on a weekly basis.
Producer and songwriter from White Hart, Billy Smiley. I've known you a long time, so I know a lot of the songs you've written, but what is one song you wrote that shocks most people when they find out you wrote it?
I wrote the Imperial song Because of Who You Are, and Sandy had cut it. So two of those groups, that was my first number one.
Wow.
And I did a lot of songs for Sandy Patty Records because we were on the bus together with Gaithers, and I would always be writing and playing her the latest song I wrote. And she always needed up songs.
Right.
So I wrote a lot of up songs, and she loved them, and I wouldn't even have to demo them. It would just, you know, she'd go, send that to me, and bam, off we'd go.
That is amazing. Now, the one that surprised me when you told me you had written it was the Clay Aikens Christmas song.
Yeah. His grandmother had heard Sandy had recorded Merry Christmas with Love. It was her first Christmas album. And I had written it with a guy named Greg Davis over at Benson. So we had cut this song, and Sandy heard it there at Benson and said, I've got to do that song. She just loved the story of it. And then Clay Aiken's grandmother, I think, had that album.
Oh, wow.
I'd never met Clay Aiken, but he had then recorded it for his album called Merry Christmas with Love.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Hey Rockstar provides digital marketing software and services for your church to generate more interest, create more exposure, and reach more people. Let Hey Rockstar amplify the awesomeness of your ministry. And, as always, Hey Rockstar is a proud sponsor of the Stage Right with John Thorne podcast.
My thanks to you for listening in 2020. Thank you to all of my guests. Thank you to Hey Rockstar for sponsoring. next Thursday, Mr. Louis Weaver, the first guest of 2021. Happy New Year, everyone.